Sing, you can have a seat.
Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. And the Lord grant unto him that he may be, or that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. I'd like to draw your attention to a phrase that we find in verse number 5, where the Bible says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. The unfeigned faith. You know, that goes directly against the spirit of the day we live in. That word unfeigned, that has to do with it being real, it not being hypocrisy, and not being just a facade of something with no reality to it. And here the Apostle Paul, through inspiration of Scripture, is writing a letter to Timothy, his son in the faith, a young pastor. He's trying to encourage and strengthen. And he says, look, I want to put you in remembrance of some things. I want you to understand some things. And I want you to understand that I'm encouraged because I see that unfeigned faith, the reality of your walk and talk, your belief in God. And tonight I want us to take a few moments and I want us to think about our faith. The faith of the Monterey Baptist Church. Do we really believe what we say we believe? I mean, do we really believe God can do great things? Do we really believe that we're called of God for a purpose, that God has a plan for this church at this time and the location that God has us? Do we really believe it? I mean, do we really have a hold of it? Or is it just something that, you know, you have that religious itch in your life and you get it scratched by being a member of church and going to church or putting a little money in your offering, whatever. Is it that, or do we really understand that this life, this world is not what it's all about? There's something far greater, something a whole lot bigger than me, something a whole lot bigger than you, something a whole lot bigger than the United States of America. There's a God of creation, and He has a plan for us. Do we believe we have His Word? Excuse me. Pray for my throat tonight. This is an encouraging thing. That just means the devil doesn't want this message out, but we're going to see the Lord give us the victory anyway. Do we really have a substance to our faith? The Bible says here, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. When we stand before Christ, when we give an account to the holy God of heaven for what we've done with His church, will He say, I sure do like to think about that unfeigned faith that you had in me? Or will He say, this is what you could have done. This is what I wanted to use you to accomplish, but you didn't have the faith to believe me. The unfeigned faith. Dear Jesus, Lord, we ask you to please meet with us tonight. Lord, you've really burdened my heart about this particular message. And I pray that you'll hold my voice up so that I can echo your heart, your message for this hour. Lord, I pray that you'll just spur something in the heart of our church. There's so much more potential if we would just quit being apathetic about the things of the Lord and to realize that your will, your purpose, your plan is the only thing that we can reap for eternity. Thank you again for all that you've done. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Have you ever been around someone that's just fake? You know, I know people, and I'm sure you know people that are like this. If they're over here with this group of people, they'll act and talk a certain way. And then if they're over here, they'll act and talk a different way. And if they're over here with this group of people, they'll act and talk a different way and talk about the people that act like that over there. But when they're over here, they act like what they're talking about over here. You ever been around people like that? I've been around preachers like that. You know, you go to a meeting, you sit and listen to them preach, and man, they just let it go. And I mean, they're hitting everything straight down the line. Stand for this, fight for this, don't give in here, don't compromise. And then you go someplace else and they're standing in a pulpit of a church you know that is contemporary, that you know uses different versions of the Bible. And you think, what's the deal there? I mean, think how the world looks at that. You know, I mean, just think logically, not even biblically. Let's just think logically for a minute with some system like the Promise Keepers. If you were an unsaved person, now most people, even unsaved people, have some church affiliation. I believe Brother Eby, you told me you never went to church until you got saved. Is that right? That's a rare thing. But you try to put yourself in Brother Eby's situation. You've never been to church. You don't know anything about it. And someone invites you to something like the Promise Keepers. And you show up. And you see maybe there's an independent Baptist preacher moderating the thing. You think, well, that guy sounds pretty good. And he's straight down the line, and he gives you the King James Bible. And that's what you have, and you look in there, and it matches up what he's saying. Then the next person gets up there, and it's an Episcopalian. And I don't even know what kind of Bible they use. But it doesn't match up with yours. And then the Catholic priest comes up and it doesn't match up with yours. And then a Lutheran comes up and it doesn't match up with yours. And so on and so on. You're going to look at that and say, what a mess. That doesn't make sense. You know, you see billboards down here and it talks about, you know, many roads, one God. Jews, Christians, Muslims, let's talk. How many of you have seen that billboard on 50? That sounds good. It sounds good to the flesh because you want to think that way.
Everybody wants to think that nobody's going to die and go to hell. Everybody wants to think that God's just going to have a magic wand of mercy that he's going to throw over everybody and nobody's going to face judgment. We all would like to think that way because we would like to be the center of everything and everything go according to us. But that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. In the day and age that you and I live in, the more distinct a sound we ring out, the more to this book we hold, the more uncompromising, unflinching we become, the more ostracized in the world we'll become. The more they'll look at us and say, there's just something strange about them. There's something I don't trust about them. There's something different about them. They're going to label you and me crazy and wacko and weird, and they're going to call us bigots because we think we're the only ones. And if you try any other way to heaven but Jesus, then you're going to die and go to hell. And they're going to say, well, who do you think you are to think you have the only way? That's what they're going to say. That's the way it's going to be. And when things began to get tougher to stand for truth and right, will our faith be unfeigned? Will there be a reality to what we believe? When it has to cost us something. When the pressure's on and you're going to have to give something up to stand for Christ. If the Lord tarries his coming, it's going to come to that. Now we may never, and I hope we never, see the persecution that past generations have seen. But I'll tell you this, it's going to get tougher. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. There's no doubt about it. There's no mistake about it. It's going to happen. It's going to come. And I believe we're living in the end times. I believe that we really may be the generation that goes up in the rapture. Now, if the Lord tarries his coming 1,000 years, that's up to him. But I personally don't believe so. Unfeigned faith. You know, there's the message tonight is a simple message. Just 2 points to the message about this unfeigned faith. One, if you and I really believe what we say we believe, and we really hold this book as the Word of God, and we bow our will and we bow our ideas and we bow our preconceptions to be to the Word of God led by the Holy Spirit of God, and we let God be God and us be His servants, then there's 2 things that's going to happen to us. The first thing we find in verse number 6, where the Bible says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Too many times God's people sit around and you would think they don't have anything to be happy about, anything to be excited about, anything to be joyful about. Some visitor comes in and they think, what in the world am I doing here? These people don't act like they believe what the preacher's preaching. I'm not talking about acting foolishly and, you know, some people, they, you know, jumping over the pews and things like that. That's distracting from the message of the Word. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the looks on our faces. I'm talking about, you know, it wouldn't hurt to hear somebody say amen every now and then. Just, you know, just to know that you do agree with what I'm preaching. But more than that, the way we act. This is, and again, I know we're in a church setting, but I'm trying to get the picture here that it's much more than just how we act at church. But this is how we live our life many times as Christians. Yeah, the Lord sure did answer that prayer there. Boy, God was merciful there. I sure did deserve something a whole lot worse than that. But you're out there, you know, watching a football game or you're watching NASCAR. You're out there fishing, you land that fish or you're hunting and you get that trophy buck or, you know, ladies find some, you know, penny sale at the mall and you can get anything for a penny. Man, you'd be excited about it. You'd be calling all your friends. Man, this sale's going on. Get there. Hey, let me tell you about this deer I got. Let me bring you the pictures. Man, did you see the ending of that race? Did you see how he made that move and got that lead and held him off? We'd be all excited about it. Our kids do something great. We want to tell everybody about it. Why can't we be that way about the Lord? If there was a reality to our faith, we would be a stirred up people. We'd be stirred up about some of the garbage that's going on. We'd be stirred up about some legislation that's trying to be passed. And we'd get out there and we'd pray and we'd vote and we'd do the things that a citizen would do in a country like ours. We would be stirred up about things. It used to be that the church was on the march, and that's why this country is the country that we are today. You know, it was a Baptist preacher by the name of John Leland that was the human instrument that God used to give our nation the Bill of Rights. James Madison, the architect of the Constitution, he was not even going to be ratified to represent his state to go to the Constitutional Convention. There was another man that was going to beat him there. That was going to beat him out in the votes because he was out doing other things. He wasn't a politician. He was a patriot, and he was trying to stir some things up. There was another guy coming in there, and he was leading. He was going to get the nomination from his state. And James Madison met with John Leland, a Baptist pastor. He met with him and they prayed and talked, and he assured John Leland of certain things, and John Leland told him, he says, "Look, I don't like the Constitution because there's no guarantee of religious liberty. And I cannot support you to go get that Constitution passed unless there's something addressed by that." And James Madison gave John Leland his word. You know, that was when a handshake really meant something. Not you get a lawyer to see what kind of loopholes you can get out of the contract. Your handshake was your handshake. Your word was your word. James Madison gave John Leland his word that if they get the Constitution passed, that he would lobby for a Bill of Rights, and that religious liberty, not tolerance, liberty, would be one of those things. I mean, we as a people used to be stirred up about some things. Now look, we've got a lot of things to be stirred up about. Just look in this passage of Scripture. The Bible says here, let's continue to read verse number 7. Or actually, let's look back at that. Verse number 6. The Bible says, "Stir up the gift of God." Again, you know me by now. I like defining words. I like looking up the definition, you know, of what the word means. That word gift, in this particular instance, it means, now you think about this, divine gratuity. Deliverance. You ever been delivered from something? You ever have some sin that's chained you down and you couldn't break it free? It was a gift of God that breaks those chains. Spiritual endowment. Religious qualifications. You know, I do not have the ability to stand in this pulpit and preach. I do not, and I face this truth every day of my life. I do not have the ability to be your pastor. I look at things and I look at potential and I see what could be done and I think about the things Lord lays on my heart and I think, what in the world am I doing here? I can't do it. But when God calls, God equips. And God says, "Look, I'm going to give you what you need to accomplish what I want you to accomplish." Now you think about that. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy. Hey, stir up that gift of God. Stir up those things. Realize and understand you're here to do God's bidding. God's equipped you for a purpose. Look, the Monterey Baptist Church of Orlando, Florida, God has put you here for a purpose. God has put the things in your hands that He's given you for a purpose. God has given you the talents and abilities for a purpose. There's something for us to accomplish.
And if we have a faith that is unfeigned, then we'll be a stirred people.
Stirred. Look at verse number 7.
The Bible said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know something that ought to stir us as Christians? The fact that we can live without fear. Now you think about that. We can live without, we don't have to fear the flesh. We can mortify the flesh with the Spirit of God, the Word of God. We don't have to fear this world or this world system. If they pass laws tomorrow and said that it's illegal for you to call somebody a sinner or to preach about hell or to do this or to do that or to tell somebody it's an abomination to live the sodomite lifestyle or it's murder to kill an unborn child or this or that or whatever. You know, that's what a lot of this hate crime legislation, that's what they're trying to accomplish. You can't tell somebody they're a drunkard. You got to tell them they have a disease. No, you've got a sin nature and sin's gripped your life. And you need Jesus to get you freed from it. We ought to be stirred about something. It ought to stir us up that we don't have to fear these things. And in place of fear, the Bible says, the Word of God says that He's going to give us a love and peace, a sound mind. He'll give us power and strength. He's going to give us not only what we need, but He's going to give us what we need to live this life and serve Him with joy and with strength and with the ability to raise our head up high and know that, you know what, I may not fit in this world, but I'm doing something for the God of heaven, and that's much, much more important. I mean, we ought to be stirred about some things. We ought to be excited. Hey, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Hey, if God let me choose, I'd choose to be born in the time I was born because I know things are going to wax worse and worse, but I know that I don't have to fear it. I don't have to give in to it. I don't have to be apathetic in my Christian life. I don't have to have some facade about things. I can have a reality to my belief in God. I can have a reality to the fact that this is the Word of God and it's meant for my life and for my family and for the church God's allowed me to be a part of. This is God's work. We ought to be stirred about some things. Not only do we have the ability to live without fear, but the Bible says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." We not only should be stirred because we can live without fear. It ought to stir us. It ought to stir us that we don't have to be ashamed of our God. You know, it's a sad thing when you see some people's system of belief. Can you imagine worshiping a God that a man fashioned out of his hands? And coming to the temple that you've made for your God after an earthquake or something, and finding your God fallen over and parts of it broken off, and you're still believing that's your God. And, oh no, our God's fallen and He's broken. And we've got to get down there and get Him up and get some plaster and fix Him up. And if it wasn't so sad, it would be comical. Can you believe there are people in this world that will take their children and sacrifice them in the name of their God? There are people in this world that'll take explosives and strap themselves to them and walk into a supermarket or a bus depot or an open-air cafe and kill men, women, and children and themselves for their God. And they believe it. They're stirred up about a false God. They get so stirred up that they'll give everything, including their life. Why is it I I don't remember where I heard it. It was just not too long ago. I don't know if it was somebody that we had here, a missionary or something. But somebody was telling the story. They were out somewhere out west here in America, knocking on doors. It may have been Brother Herring. I talked with him not too long ago on the phone. I don't remember. But they were out west. They were knocking on doors. And when somebody opened the door and found out that it wasn't a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, they were so excited. And they told him, "I've never had anyone knock on my door that wasn't a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness." Brother Jeff Faggard asked on this Baptist history trip, he asked the men when we were on the bus going to another location, ask us to raise our hand if we've ever had a Baptist knock on our door to present the gospel. You know, I got to thinking about that. You know, I'm 34 years old. I've lived in the Bible Belt my entire life. And I've never had one Baptist knock on my door to tell me about Christ. We don't live like we believe the faith we preach about. We ought to be stirred up about some things. We shouldn't be ashamed of Christ. We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. I mean, look what the Bible says. Is, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." God's going to give you what you need to deal with whatever the world, the flesh, and devil throws at you. We just ought to be stirred up enough to get out there and not be ashamed of Christ. You ever be in a situation and it's almost like you want to duck your head? "I hope nobody knows I'm a Christian." Or you see something going on you know you should speak out against and you just kind of want to hide away. Or somebody's having a conversation and they're asking questions and you think, "I don't know the answer to that, so I'm just not going to let anybody know I'm a Christian." We should never be ashamed of Christ. It ought to stir our hearts that we get to represent the God of heaven. It ought to stir us up. Now that, look at verse number 9. "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." We ought to be stirred up because we're a part of His purpose. His purpose. You know, the Monterey Baptist Church does not exist to please Pastor Larry Branham. You know, the Monterey Baptist Church does not exist to do what Pastor Larry Branham wants it to do. Do you know that God didn't call Larry Branham to be the pastor of the Monterey Baptist Church to please you or to do what you want to do? God has brought us together to fulfill His purpose. That's what it's about. It's about the God of heaven. That ought to stir us up. I mean, you really think about that. That ought to excite you down to your soul to know that the God of heaven wants you in His plan, in His purpose. Not only that, look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." It ought to stir you up that you've had the privilege of hearing the gospel. You've received the gospel. And now you get to bear that good news to a world that's lost and dying and going to hell. That ought to stir us up. I mean, we ought to get excited about that. I mean, it ought to do something. I mean, it ought to put goosebumps up and down your spine when you think, "I get to take the message that can keep somebody from dying and going to hell. I get to take that message to them. I get to be the one that represents the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I get to be the one that gets to deliver the message that is the only hope for the whole of humanity. That ought to stir us up. Not only that, the Bible goes on to say in verse number 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, again referring back to the gospel, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. The Bible says, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know what ought to stir us up? It ought to stir us up to know that God is the judge. He's going to sort it all out. He's going to work it all out. I'm glad I'm not the judge. Heaven would be a very, very empty place if I was the judge. I'm glad you're not the judge. Because if it hasn't happened yet, it will happen eventually. I'm going to say something that's going to make you mad or hurt your feelings. Not intentionally, but we're all flesh. And at some point, the Holy Spirit's going to have to get a hold of each one of us. Call it stepping on our toes or pricking our heart. And usually we want to lash out at the messenger instead of the one who the message is from. Of course, you know, you can't really lash out at him. What chance do you have, right? But it ought to stir you up to think about that God's going to sort it all out. You know, sometimes you look at things and you wonder, why does it look like they get all the breaks and I get all the tough times? And Lord, you know from my heart, I'm trying to do what's right, and I'm trying to do it your way. I'm trying to have integrity. I'm trying to have a pure motive and do it how you want to do it. I don't want to cut corners when I'm doing something for you. But it seems like they're getting all the breaks and they're cutting the corners and they're this way here and that way here and this way here. And God says, don't worry about it. You do what I have for your life, because he's able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. It'll all be straightened out. That'll excite you. I mean, that ought to stir you up. You know, as I was going over the message this afternoon, I just took about a minute and a half and jotted down just off the top of my head some of the things that I believe the Lord would like us to do here. And of course, we've got to wait for his timing, but I think much more of it is we've got to get up and just do it instead of using God as a crutch and excuse, saying, well, you know, it's not his time yet. You know, we've got to commit ourselves to it. But here's just a few things off the top of my heart without really trying that I wrote down in about a minute and a half, a minute 45 seconds at the most. We need a gymnasium. If we're going to reach young people, we're going to do some of the things we need to do, we need a gymnasium. We need to update our vans. We need to get newer vans and go from the 15-passenger to the 12-passenger because of insurance purposes. We need more buses, which means we need more workers. We need to start a jail and a prison ministry. There are people that are dying and going to hell. They're at the bottom of the rung. They have nowhere to look but up. I mean, talk about spiritually speaking, that's like shooting fish in a barrel. And they're sitting there. We're not doing anything about it. We need a nursing home ministry. It's people in the twilight years of their life. And some of them don't know Christ. We need to have a printing ministry. We can provide things for our missionaries and do things here at the church. We need to open up a Baptist academy. You know, I don't want a prep school. I don't want a Christian school. I want a Baptist academy. I want it to be doctrinally sound, not trying to get big, but be very picky about who we let in. I have some things that I want to get in print for the church. We've got some simple things that we need to do around here, but it just needs to be done. Our communion set is in very, very bad shape. We need to replace it. I don't like the empty spots in the hymn slots. I like to put some hymns in them because one day I believe there'll be people sitting there using them.
We need to replace the baptismal robes. We need more classroom space, either to add on or to put modules in or something. We need storage. There's special projects that I'd like to be a part of. Different missionaries come up with different things, and you've got to have funds to do that. I like to get on a schedule that every 2 years, every other year, we take a missions trip. Not send the young people, but a church-wide mission trip where different people from the church, we go and we help a missionary. We need to take on more missionaries. I'd like to add some staff to the church. I'd like to see our music program increase. I'd like to see more specials, more people get involved. I'd like to see special music on Wednesdays and just different things. And when I say different, I don't mean contemporary. I mean things that honor the Lord. We need to do more door-to-door visitation. You say, but you know what? We don't see the results. But you know what? He's going to sort that all out. He's able to do it. He's able to keep those things that we've committed unto Him against that day. We need to do more with our website. I mean, that's the medium of today. If we could get in there, we could really reach around the world with the gospel. If we're going to do some of these things, we're going to have to do one of two things. We're going to have to acquire some more property right here, which that means, Lord, we need to send a tornado or something, take care of some apartments, or I'm saying that in jest. Or we're going to have to relocate if we're going to do some of these things. Now, that was just off the top of my head, just a few things I jotted down. And you know, when I was in my office and I was praying over the message and I got this list out and I read over it a couple of times, I started getting excited about some things. Because you know what? If we'll follow God, we can do it. Let me rephrase that. If we follow God, we can be a part of God doing it. It can happen. You say, yeah, but look, we've got not very many people here, small crowd, and you know, we don't have anybody that's a millionaire in the church. If you are, you've kept it a very good secret. God took some fishermen, a tax collector, a doctor, and evangelized the known world without the internet, without telephones, without cars, without planes. And it's the same God today. If we have a faith that is real and it's not unfeigned, it ought to stir us. And then the second thing, very quickly. The Bible says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. If we have a faith that is unfeigned, not only will we be a stirred up people, but we'll hold fast. We'll hold fast. What is he talking about here? He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He's talking about doctrine. He's saying, Timothy, the things that I've taught you that you've received in faith in Christ Jesus, hold fast to those things. Hold fast. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to get harder and harder and harder and harder to stay with that book. If you want to believe this book, and it's a reality to you, it's not just some facade or not just it's a good thing, but you really believe it's the Word of God, then, you know, sometimes it's going to cost you friendships. I know it has me. Sometimes people that you love and respect that have had huge impacts on your life, sometimes there'll have to be a separation. Now, only a fool lives for something like that. Well, I want to be separate from everybody, and I want to be rough, and I want to be... No, Christ is interested in people. And it breaks the heart of God every time somebody goes the wrong way. You know, I'm glad God's called me to pastor, and I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. I really wouldn't. But when God calls someone to pastor, I know there's a lot of people pastoring that I don't believe are God called. But when God calls somebody to pastor, He does something to their heart. And I just want to talk to you for a minute, and then we'll get back to this. When somebody in this church isn't doing what they're supposed to do, they're not where they're supposed to be, they're not reaching the potential that's in their life, it hurts my heart, as if one of my own children was going the wrong way in their life. I'm not saying I'm your father or anything like that, but that's how I feel. That's how I feel. I mean, when I come in to the service begins and I look around, kind of canvas the scene, it doesn't hurt my heart that there are empty pews, though I'd like to see every pew filled. It hurts my heart to see a spot where somebody should be sitting and they're not there. When I hear somebody's doing this or somebody's done this or this is happening in somebody's life, and I can only think that God allows that to be that way, to give us a little glimpse of what He feels like when we don't do what's right. The Apostle Paul, through inspiration of Scripture, writing a letter to Timothy, a young pastor, his son in the faith, as he calls him, he says, hold fast. It's not always going to be easy. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes it's going to be difficult. But hold fast that form of sound words. Hold fast to that doctrine. When everybody else is caving in and people that you once thought were your heroes in the faith, when they dip their sails and they change their ways, hold fast, Timothy. Don't give in. Hold fast in doctrine. You say, how can I do it? That is answered in verse number 15. This thou knowest, verse number 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. The only way you and I are going to hold fast in the day and age we live in is by listening to the Holy Ghost that indwells us. We don't need to be afraid of the Holy Ghost. We allow different religions to almost make us embarrassed to mention it. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost to have liberty in our lives, in our homes, in our church, if we're going to hold fast. And then verse 15, the Bible says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. We need to hold fast when others forsake the way. Just hold fast. Because as this chapter closes out, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. God always has somebody to encourage us at the time we need it. Make sure you're in your place, because it may be your time to encourage somebody when they need it. Don't miss that blessing. He says, Timothy, oh, it encourages me when I remember and I put in remembrance the unfeigned faith that dwelleth in thee. Is our faith real? If it is, we ought to be stirred to action and we ought to hold fast. Let me put it in terms that we can understand here.
It ought to be when God's doing something and God puts something in our heart and God's leading us in a direction. It ought to be an adrenaline rush, like when you hear someone say, "Gentlemen, start your engines." Or you hear somebody say, "Lock and load. It's time to get out there and get it done." I mean, it ought to be just like that. God's getting ready to do something. We ought to feel that when we come to church. I mean, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings, visitation. Say, God's about ready to do something. And I'm just stirred up. I'm excited to be a part of what God's doing. I can't wait to see what God's going to do for me and what God's going to do with our church. If we really believe it, we'll be a stirred up people that holds fast. Stirred up people that holds fast. Brother Bill, will you dismiss us in a word of prayer?